Well, it is good to be here this morning. How are we all doing today? It's good to see you. I'm glad to see Brother Tony here. He's here today. His arm is still attached. And we're glad for that. Pray for him as he continues to heal from that as well. How aren't you glad for your mothers today? Y'all wouldn't be here without that lady. So I know what the world is trying to change all the facts. But without your mother, you wouldn't be here today. So aren't you glad for your mother today? Amen. Praise the Lord for her. And I continue to pray for Pastor as they travel out there in California and visiting with their family as well. We're thankful for this opportunity today and this opportunity to preach and be with everyone today. It's a good crowd this morning. Y'all are looking good. Brother Daryl, he admits finally. So I was trying to be nice, Some of y'all disagree maybe. All right. Daryl, you're looking good today. Glad that you're here this morning. If you could stand for the honor of God's word this morning, 1 Samuel, chapter number 1. 1 Samuel, chapter number 1. 1 Samuel, chapter 1. Begin looking into our text this morning. 1 Samuel, chapter number 1. I'm looking at my notes right now, and I realize I grabbed the wrong ones. So, Landon, I need you to go back there and grab the right ones. And so that I can have the right notes. I have most of my sermon memorized, but you just never know. Just never know. But 1 Samuel chapter number 1, we're going to begin reading in verse number 1, chapter 1. We're going to read first 1 through 3, and then we're going to skip a little bit so we can keep our context and make sure that we have our context this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse number 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephrathite, and he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. So let's skip down over to verse number 9. Verse number 9. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. She vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And there shall no razor come upon his head. And it shall come to pass, as he continued to pray before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou asked him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they went, and they rose up in the morning and early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah's wife, and the Lord remembered her. Let's go to the Lord in prayer today. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you so much for the opportunity we have to look into your word this morning. We thank you so much for the opportunity we have to present ourselves to you, Lord, and to worship you. We pray, Lord, that you'll be with our missionaries today. Pray that you bless them as they preach this morning as well as they minister in their respective places. We pray, Lord, that you'll bless our pastor again. Lord, we're thankful for him. We're thankful for the opportunity we have to serve the Lord with them. We pray, Lord, you keep them safe as they travel. Pray that you bless each one that's here today. Thankful for them being here today. Thankful for those that are choosing to worship with you here in this place. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much for standing in honor of God's word this morning. I am also thankful for our visitors today. We have several first-time visitors here with us today, and we're glad that you are here. Some that haven't been here for a little while, but we're glad that they're here as well. And if you have not got a visitor packet, you can have the visitor. You can keep the pen, and as of today, you also can have a thingamabobby or whatchamacallit or whatever that thing was that Brother Rick had there. I think I want one of those, too. I don't have one of those. And I noticed he didn't leave that drink up here, brother. I noticed that. We were commenting. He was sitting there having a drink and eating and drinking and didn't offer any of it to the rest of us. But we're thankful for that. There are many examples of godly mothers in the Bible. There are mothers who displayed great courage. There are mothers who displayed great strength and determination. Many of us might be able to think back to the time when we were with our mothers, and my mom passed away about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, and about a year and a half ago, and lost the battle to cancer. And I'm thankful for my mother. I can think back to all the different times when she was a great help to me and helped me in my life, and especially helped me in my ministry and in just learning to serve the Lord and put God first in my heart and life. And in many respects, my mom was kind of tougher than my dad. If I came in and I scraped my knee up or I did something like that, I'd run into my dad. He'd say, "Go see your mom." And she would look at it and say, "Just go play outside. You're fine." And she would say, "Just go play." And she taught me how to be tough. But one of the things that she taught me most of all was how to love the Lord and to serve the Lord, and taught me how to read my Bible and do all those kind of things. I'm thankful for my mother. Thankful for her. You know, there are mothers who are leaders. There are mothers who are builders as well. The Bible lists mothers that were teachers, that were workers, that were helpers. We can think back to Timothy and how Paul gave the great example of Lois and Eunice. They were the mother and grandmother of Timothy and how they had such an influence on his life. And the examples and lessons to be learned really are numerous. You could go throughout the Word of God and find mother after mother after mother doing many great and powerful things for the Lord. And this morning I wanted us to focus on this, that we titled for this morning's message, the example of Hannah. The example of Hannah. And we have this opportunity to see something in her life and maybe make some application from the things that she decided and made some decisions here in this first chapter. And as we go into chapter 2 as well, and make some examples and make some opportunities, especially for us ladies, to maybe follow the example of Hannah. So I want us to notice, first of all, as we read back in verse number 11, the Bible says, "And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts." We know the situation for Hannah, and she was married, and her, I guess you would say, sister wife at this time, she had lots of children, and Hannah had no children. And it's one of those things that when ladies get married, it's one of those biological things, they want to have children. My daughter is at that age now. She's at that time now. They've been married for almost 2 years now. It'll be 2 years at the end of this month. I married them, and the clock had begun to tick, and now she's finally, we're going to start trying to have a baby. So pray, because Miss Oster wants a grandbaby bad. She wants one bad. We were shopping the other day, and we spent more time shopping for baby clothes than we did for anything else. And that first grandbaby, I'm going to probably have to take out a personal loan and just have a set right on the side of it. She's nodding her head. They want that desire, and they have that desire. And so Hannah had a desire. She wanted a baby. She wanted a child very, very greatly. And the Lord had closed. The Bible says that the Lord had closed up her womb, and God had shut up her womb, and He wanted to use her to be a great example and use her in a mighty, powerful way. And the first thing I want us to see about Hannah and the example of Hannah is that she was a lady of prayer. She was a lady that spent time with the Lord. We see here in verse number 9 and 10, all the way through, and verse number 10, "And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of my handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his hand." It's a blessing that the Lord allows us to see her prayer here and her prayer in entirety. But you can see that by the way that she is speaking to the Lord, that this was not the only time she spent time in prayer. It's not the only time she spent time talking to the Lord. It's not the only time that she spent time in bitterness of soul and pouring out her heart to God and putting out her burdens to the Lord. I believe that this is really the missing power of so many, really, if we can put it this way, that we're focused on the mothers today, but obviously we're going to make application from the Word of God to the men as well. But this is really what's lacking in so many families' lives is prayer and spending some time in prayer and spending a time on your knees to the Lord with prayer. Miss Oster and I, every night, especially on Saturday, Saturday nights, we get together and we get down and we bow upon our faces before the Lord together beside our bedside before we even go to bed and spend some time in prayer asking the Lord to bless the next day, and especially on Saturday, to bless Sunday. And we're looking forward to Sunday and looking forward to those times. But what's missing in so many churches and so many families is prayer. We need more people to have some more focus on prayer. But there's some things about this prayer I want us to notice here. First of all, you see, she made a vow unto the Lord. She had made a sacrificial promise that she would keep. This is a good picture of faith promise. And if you don't, part of faith promise, missions giving. Basically what that is we promise to give to God what we don't already have. Remember, she's promising to give what she doesn't have. Lord, if I had a child, I will give it unto you. But she vowed a vow unto the Lord. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 4, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Of course, that has other applications, but here, she made a vow unto the Lord. She made a commitment unto the Lord. And lots of times, we don't pray like we ought to. Why? Because we're going to make a commitment to God. So we don't make commitments like we ought to. And here was a lady that made a commitment. She made some prayers unto God. And she made that sacrifice unto God. She taught Samuel to love the Lord and to dedicate him to the Lord. Have you thought about it this way? My wife and I did exactly the same thing. Every child that we have that God gave to us, we said, God, I want you to take that child. We want you to call that child to the ministry. Use this child. This child is yours. I really wonder if we would have the problems that we have in our world today if more parents had given their children to God rather than kept them for themselves. But she vowed a vow unto the Lord, and she said, take my child. If you'll even give me one, it will be yours. I'll make that commitment to you. And we need more ladies that would be willing to give their families to the Lord. But second of all, we can see here that not only did she vow a vow, the Bible says there in verse number 10, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord. And what's that last phrase there? Somebody read that to me real loud. She wept sore. Ladies, when's the last time you spent any time at the altar weeping sore for anything? Really spending some time with the Lord. Really focusing on the Lord. Really putting your burdens out to the Lord. Don't you remember when you used to talk to your spouse before you got married? I love to use these examples because it just hits right home. And I can already see some reactions to folks. It was different. I understand it was different back then. Y'all remember letters? You remember those? I know I walk down real slow. You remember those? You used to take a pen. Because there's some young people here today. I'm glad for them. I'm going to explain to them what letter writing is. You used to take a pen and you would write on pieces of paper things that you wanted someone else to know. And my wife and I did this for a while. We had long-term relationships. And you know, after about 2 weeks, if you haven't got a letter, you're wondering what's going on. What's happening right now? We get mad when somebody sends a text and within 5 minutes, because we can see on there, oh, they've read it. I can see they've read it. What's going on? But back then, you know, you had to write a letter and you had to wait for somebody else to take that letter and, you know, post. Y'all remember postcards? I collect postcards. I like to write postcards. You had to be really careful what you wrote on it, because you know everybody that picked it up is reading it before they shuffled it through on the other side. We used to write things and used to communicate with them. And I saved, my wife actually found them. I saved every letter. I still have every single letter she wrote me in that time period. I have every single one. I have every card. She writes lots of poems. She's a really good poem writer. I have every single one of them. She was reading them the other day. And she was sitting there thinking, this is cheesy. Most of the stuff is cheesy stuff. But you write it all. But really what you're doing is you're pouring your heart out to an individual, right? You're telling them things and you're opening up to them and you're talking about your personal life and you're building a relationship, right? You're building a bond with someone and you're building that time with them. But you see, God says, I need the same thing. God says, I sent my son. I died upon the cross and I paid for your sin debt. And this is what I want from you, ladies. I want a personal relationship with you. I want a close relationship with you. What you can talk to with your husband behind closed doors, you can talk to me about it. And when was the last time, ladies, you spent some time in bitterness of soul over burden? Spent some time weeping. Spent some time in sorrow for something. Many times we pray and it just kind of becomes something that we just do. Hannah didn't just come to the temple here and just pray, Lord, you know what? It'd be really good if I had a child. I could do lots of great things with that child. I could lead that child to serve the Lord. No, she said, Lord. She wept with bitterness and tears. It was a burden that she had within her life. And so when she prayed, it was not a flippant thing. It was not just a prayer that she just did because, well, this is what we just pray because we're Christians and that's what Christians do. No, she poured her heart out to God. Ladies, when was the last time you spent time at the altar just praying for your husband with some tears for your husband? Lord, would you help my husband to lead my family, lead us in a godly way? Lord, would you help him at his job? Would you help him at his work? So last time, ladies, you spent some tears for your children. Lord, that my children, we're going to see some of that tonight as we look at the elect lady of love. Lord, spend some time. Lord, would you use my children to do something great for God? We want our children to do great things, but don't we want them to do great things for God? Don't we want our children to lead more people to Christ than we do? Spend some time in prayer, weeping for a burden, for a soul. Second of all, we see there, if you look over to verse number 17, and Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. I wrote in my notes here just a quick question. Do you think God would have answered that prayer if she had not prayed the way that she did? I kind of feel sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers. This is Brother Oster 101. I kind of feel like God doesn't really answer our prayers. Why? Because the Bible says if you ask not believing, believing you shall receive. So a lot of times because we don't really pour our heart out to God, maybe God can sense it's not really that important to us, so he doesn't answer that question or give us that thing. And she poured her heart out, and so God says, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give you this child. But second of all, I want to see we have a lady of sacrifice. In verse number 11, we saw that promise to the Lord. You look down to verse number 22 of that same chapter, verse number 1, chapter number 1 of 22. The Bible says, and Hannah went not up, for she said to her husband, I will not go up until until the child would be weaned, and that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. Now Cain, her husband, said unto her, tarry, do that which seemeth good. Tarry thou until thou hast weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him and took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young, and he slew the bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, Lord, I am the woman that thou stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and for the Lord had given me my petition which I asked him. Therefore I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent unto the Lord. And she worshiped the Lord there. Second of all, we see that she was a lady of prayer. Second of all, she was a lady of sacrifice. Not only we see in verse number 11, she was prepared to give. She was set to give. God says, set your affections on the Lord. Luke chapter 12, verse 34 says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I don't remember who made this statement. It wasn't original to me. But a quick look at one's finances will reveal what they love the most. Look at your checkbook and I can show me your checkbook and I can tell you what you love the most. And here Hannah, her greatest love was the Lord. And so she was willing to give to God everything that she had. She had no child, and she poured her heart out to God in weeping and tears and with bitterness of soul, and she begged God for a child, and she promised that child to the Lord. And when she had that child that she specifically prayed for, she didn't keep him to herself. She gave it right back to God forever. She didn't keep it for just a little while. She didn't say, I'm going to bring him up there and just let him be up there for the summers and come back and get him. No, literally, she took her child after he was weaned and took him to the temple and gave him to the Lord. And the only time she saw him was every year when they came back and they would visit with him. And the Bible says she would make a coat for him and give him some things. But otherwise, she gave him to the Lord and he was the Lord. She sacrificed her firstborn son to God, and God blessed her for it. And in fact, verse chapter number 2, verses 20 through 21, the Bible says there in verse number 20, and Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, the Lord give thy seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went into their own home, and the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters, and the Samuel child. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. My friends, today, God did not bless her with five more until she gave the first to God. Until she gave the first to God. You know, my instructions to Ashley is this. Ashley, you want more children? Give them to God. And God will give you more. You want more? Give God to more. Think about, what does God say? Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you want your garden to produce produce, what do you have to do? You got to plant, right? You got to put something in the dirt. Out here in Arizona, nothing's going to grow unless you do some work, unless you put something into it, correct? Unless you sacrifice, you give your time. You put that seed in the ground, you water it, you till the ground. You do that work, you sacrifice, and then you see the fruit. Then you see the reward. I want you to understand, your ladies this morning, especially mothers, Hannah was not blessed with more until she first gave to God. Don't you like stuff? Anybody like stuff? We have so much stuff in America today. This is a fact. The fastest growing business industry in America today is the self-storage industry. They're building more self-storages to keep stuff than anything else. We're building houses as fast as we can, but if you'll notice, every time a group of houses come up, guess what comes up around them? Self-storage. Why? Because we like stuff. And we make sure it's air conditioned. I've always wondered about this. We store stuff in a shed, and we pay to store the stuff in the shed, and then we pay to air condition it, and then we go look at it once or twice a year. My wife and I, we just moved to our new house, and we're going through boxes. We're opening the box and thinking, where did this stuff come from? We haven't seen it in years or months. Why do we have it? But the world likes stuff, and it's not bad to have stuff. But God says that however you give, God says, I'll press it down, shaken together, and then running over, so God give to your bosom. Hannah was not blessed with more until she first gave the first. So we can see, first of all, that she was a lady of prayer. Second of all, she was a lady of sacrifice. Thirdly, she was a lady of thankfulness. Chapter 2, verse number 1. And Hannah prayed and said in my heart, and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoiced in thy salvation. What a prayer, what a happiness, what a thankfulness unto the Lord. She rejoiced for God's exaltation. The word exaltation, that means elevation of dignity or excellence. She lifted up God and she lifted him up, and she had been able to give to God what no one else had been able to or was willing to give. And she gladly put God where he should be. Ladies, God should be at the top in your family's home, in your family's life. If God's not first, something else will be. If you replace something, if you take something out of your life, you got to replace it with something else. We'd have teenagers who go to camp with us and they'd commit to the Lord. I'm going to get rid of all my bad music and get rid of all my bad games and get rid of all those things. You got to replace it with something else. Have to replace it. Ladies, when you woke up this morning, did you thank the Lord for this day? Did you thank him for it? Did you thank him for the food that you have? It's getting harder and harder to find, but are you thankful for the food that you have? Are you thankful for the car that you have to drive? Are you thankful for the house that you have to live in? Are you thankful for floors that are in place? The last time you ladies spent time at the altars, just thanking God, just worshiping the Lord, just thanking him for the things that you have. I've lived in a country, I've lived in Argentina, and I've been to places where they still have dirt floors, where they still sweep a dirt floor. I've lived in a place where we had rolling blackouts and we had certain people had power at certain times. I've lived in a place where I had no water because in Argentina, most places in Argentina, you have your big old giant cistern thing on top of your roof and the city fills it up every day or every 2-3 days. And if you run out of that cistern, you're out of water. You got to wait for the city to fill it back up, and that's where you get your water pressure from. I've been in days where there was no water. Aren't you glad for those kinds of things? We take so much for granted in the United States of America. We never say time to thank the Lord. Spend time to thank her. But here was Hannah, and she was thankful, not for anything, but to give to God something that he had given to her. She says, I rejoice in God's salvation. It was God that gave her a child, and it was God that allowed her to give him back to her. Ladies, are you thankful? Aren't you thankful, ladies, for your husbands? I gave you a chance, guys. I gave you a chance there. I gave you a chance. Even my own wife was kind of silent on that. Did you? Okay, I didn't hear you. Did anybody else hear it over there? Oh, I mean, I'm telling you what. Fourthly today, she was a lady of promise. Verse number 27 and 28. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also have I lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he should be lent to the Lord. And she worshiped the Lord there. Fourthly, she was a lady of promise. She promised to God that she would give him her child, and she followed through. The word lent here means to permit the use of another's benefit. As I stated before, the Osters gave all of their children to God. I said, God, they're your children. God says, children are heritage of the Lord. And heritage is something that you've neither gained nor earned. It's something that's given to you. So of every child that God's given to Miss Oster and I, we gave them back to God. I fully expect God to use them in the ministry because that's what I gave them to him. They're his. I've never asked my child, what do you want to do with your life? I always ask my children, what does God want you to do with your life? Parents, that's the question you have to ask your children. Not what do I want to do, not what do you want to do, what does God want you to do with your life? God calls them to be a lawyer. We need good lawyers. Is that what God's called you to do? Praise the Lord. Be the best one that God would have you to be. Here was Hannah. She said, God gave me a child. I will give him back to God. I will lend him back to God. I don't need him for myself. God can bless me with another one. But the Lord needs him. And the Lord needs to use him. He was a heritage of the Lord. And so since he was claimed by God, she gave him back to God. Ladies, have you given your children to God? Have you given your grandchildren to God? Given them to God? You're raising your grandchildren to serve, to love the Lord? Give them to God. You see, Hannah is a lady, a mother that brought one of the most powerful and influential prophets of the Bible into this world. You can read all of the things that Samuel did and the power that Samuel had with the Lord and the opportunities that Samuel had with the Lord and the opportunities that Samuel had to do powerful, powerful things with the Lord and through the Lord God. But it all started with a godly mother. It started with them. Samuel became great with the help and sacrifice of a great mother. I would encourage our young people here today, and there's several young people here, it's a blessing to see all the young people here today. Teenagers, when's the last time you did something really nice for your mother? I'm going to help you out, boys. If you're a teenage boy in this room, I'm going to help you out. When I get out of college, when I came home for college, every summer I came home for college, I made sure my mom had fresh flowers every day. And it cost me money with my job. I made sure. Usually maybe Monday, they last a week. But my dad actually started getting mad. He's like, dude, you're buying your mom more flowers than I am. But I made sure my mom had fresh flowers every day. You know what I wish I could still do? I wish I could still give my mom fresh flowers every day. Young men in this room, when's the last time you did something nice for your mother? The last time you took her to dinner? It was the last time you made her bed? It was the last time you did the dishes without asking? You ought to be thankful for a godly mother that'll bring you to church and a godly mother that'll help you to see the Word of God. You ought to be thankful for that. I don't have a mother that I can do that with anymore. Certainly wish I did. I'm thankful for my mother. I took care of her. I wouldn't be here at this pulpit today without my mother serving with her. Husbands, I know she's not your mother. She raises your children. Husbands, last time you did something really nice for your wives. And I don't mean just because it's Mother's Day, she gets her day. No. She really did some great things for her. And I'm going to give you this example. When was the last time, husbands, you took your wife to the altar, presented your wife at the altar and said, Lord, thank you for my godly wife. Young person, when was the last time you took your mom to the altar and prayed with your mom and said, Lord, thank you for my mother. Thank you for her. Without a godly mother, without godly mothers, where would we be today? Ladies, would you decide to be like Hannah? Would you decide to be a godly mother, a godly grandmother that would raise your children, your grandchildren, and influence them to serve, to love the Lord? Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. Let's just consider. First and most important thing today is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior? Ladies, today, are you sure you're on your way to heaven? Ladies, do you know if your children are on their way to heaven? Let me encourage you, ladies. If not, when was the last time you, in bitterness of soul, shed a tear for a daughter, a son, that doesn't know Jesus Christ, their Lord and personal Savior? Give you the courage with love to show them salvation. Husbands, can I encourage you today? Would you bring your wife to the altar and say, Lord, thank you for a godly wife. I love my wife. Guarantee you, you'll have a good rest of the day. Young people, teenagers, when's the last time you took your mom by the hand, brought her to the altar and say, Lord, thank you for my mom. I love my mom. Godly mothers are in short supply these days. I'm thankful for every mother that's here this morning. This world needs you. The rest of us ought to be thankful for you. As our brother begins to sing and the music begins to play, as we stand to our feet this morning, would you come this morning? Would you come? Bring your mother. Bring your wife. Pray with her at the altar.